Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, August 21st, 2022, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We are studying the results of justification. Romans 5. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, we have the results of justification. Result number 1 is found in Romans 5, verse 1, which says, "Therefore, because we were justified by faith, the imputed with the righteousness from God and declared to be righteous, we have peace with God," reconciliation, "through our Lord Jesus Christ." So the first result is peace with God. First result of justification, peace with God. This is the peace of reconciliation. This is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross directed toward man. This peace or reconciliation describes the removal of the barrier between God and man. Result number 2, access into the presence of the living and true God, Romans 5:2a. "By the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access." Access into the presence of the living and true God by means of faith in Jesus Christ. Access to God means we have a personal relationship with the living and true God. Result number 3, eternal security, Romans 5:2b. Into this grace, in which grace we stand in the past, with the result that we keep on standing forever. There are in the scriptures 8 doctrinal rationales that teach eternal security. The essence of God rationale, emphasizing the eternal life of God and the righteousness and justice of God, the gift of eternal life and the imputation of God's righteousness, John 3:16, John 3:36, 1 John 5:11 to 13, Romans 5:1 and 2, 2 Timothy 2:11 to 13. The second rationale is the exegetical rationale, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, where we have the Greek verb sozo, to save. It's a perfect periphrastic participle. And that locks everything down, for by grace you are saved through faith. This salvation is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The third rationale is the positional sanctification rationale. We are at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes us and enters us into union with Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37 to 39, 2 Corinthians 5:21, 1 John 5:11 to 13. The fourth rationale is the logical approach, or the a fortiori rationale, Romans 8:31 and 32. The fifth is the family of God rationale. Galatians 3:26, 1 Peter 1:3 through 5, Romans 8:16 and 17. Galatians 4:7, Titus 3:7. The sixth rationale is the body metaphor for eternal security. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the body, and we are the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22 and 23. Colossians 1:18, 1 Corinthians 12:21. The seventh rationale is the hand of God rationale. Psalm 37:24, John 10 verses 27 to 29, Jude verse 24. At the moment that you place your faith in Christ, Jesus Christ takes you into his hand, and he never, ever, ever lets go of you. You might let go of him. He will never, ever let go of you. Eternal security. The eighth rationale is the sealing metaphor for eternal security. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 and Ephesians 4 verse 30. We studied that, but we have one more concept to consider with regard to eternal security. One more concept. Eternal security and confidence with God. Eternal security and confidence with God. Some people are confused about eternal security because they came to hearing the gospel and they're not saved because they came to the principle of adding works and thought they were saved by work. They never do understand eternal security. Eternal security and confidence in God is a very important concept. Eternal security is a gift from God at salvation. It is something every believer possesses forever, regardless of his experiential status. However, confidence is not possessed by every believer. Confidence is a virtue that is developed and directed toward God. So a few concepts on this eternal security and confidence in God. A couple of things. One, eternal security at salvation is something God does for us. Eternal security at salvation is something that God does for us. While confidence in God is the result of the believer growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. So eternal security at salvation is something God does for us, while confidence in God is the result of the believer growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. 2. But whether you have confidence in God or not does not change God's attitude toward you. You will always have eternal security. You can never, ever lose your salvation. So point two, but whether you have confidence in God or not does not change God's attitude toward you. You will always have eternal security. You can never, ever lose your salvation. 3. Eternal security is inherited at salvation, faith in Christ. We acquire confidence, however, through consistent and faithful learning, believing the Word of God. Eternal security is inherited as salvation, the moment of faith in Christ. But we acquire confidence in God through consistently and faithfully learning and believing the absolute truth of the Word of God. Growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Understanding eternal security and other magnificent truth found in the Word of God gives us confidence. Confidence in God. Confidence is an experience which comes through learning, believing, and applying more and more of the absolute truth of God's Word. Ignorance of Bible doctrine is simply failure to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Ignorance is very costly because it deprives the believer of confidence. Confidence in God. Confidence based on eternal security, as well as motivation from that confidence. It is the quintessence of human arrogance to assume that you can do something to cancel the 40 grace blessings God gave to you at the moment of faith in Christ's salvation. Therefore, every believer has eternal security, and no one can cancel it. 4. Eternal security is permanent and cannot be destroyed by the believer's failure. Eternal security is permanent and cannot be destroyed by the believer's failure. Am I going too slow? Okay. 5. Confidence in God is a temporary experience which can be nullified by ignorance of the Word of God, rejection of the Word of God, and living in Satan's cosmic system. Confidence in God is a temporary experience which can be nullified in the life of the believer by ignorance of the Word of God, rejection of the Word of God, living in Satan's cosmic system. Confidence is a virtue which can be destroyed by your bad decisions of living in Satan's cosmic system, or misdirected by dependence on man rather than dependence on God. 6. Eternal security depends on the faithfulness and the integrity of God. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinitely fair with all of its creation. Eternal security depends on the faithfulness and the integrity of God. 7, confidence depends on the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Confidence depends on the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Eight, eternal security is a guarantee never to be lost. Eternal security is a guarantee never to be lost. Nine, all believers possess eternal security. Unfortunately, few believers possess confidence in God. All believers possess eternal security, but few believers possess confidence in God. 10, since all virtue is manufactured by the grace and the power of God, confidence toward God exists to the extent that the believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Since all virtue is manufactured by the grace and the power of God, confidence toward God exists to the extent that the believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. 11, confidence toward God completely vanishes to the extent that the believer makes bad decisions in his life and lives in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. Confidence toward God completely vanishes to the extent that the believer makes bad decisions in his life and walks in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, rather than walking in the light of the spiritual life. There are several passages. First of all, 1 John 2:28. Turn over to 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, congregation of believers, keep on abiding in him. That's the word meno, and with John, he has a couple of words he uses over and over and over again. One of those words is the word here, meno, M-E-N, long O. Meno is often translated to abide. And this is John's way of describing living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So when he says here, and now, dear children, congregation of believers, keep on menoing in him. Keep on abiding in him. That is, keep on staying in fellowship with him, filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. That's exactly what he's saying. And he uses this over and over and over again to describe the believer living the spiritual life in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. Now the purpose, for the purpose that when he appears, phanerao, that's referring to the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church ends the church age, and we are all caught up, the dead in Christ first, and then those who are living are translated into our resurrection body at the rapture. We meet Jesus Christ in the air. There's the great genuflex, and then the judgment seat of Christ, the royal family of God. Every one of us will be evaluated by Jesus Christ. Not whether we have salvation or not, that's a guarantee. We all have eternal security. We all have salvation. We'll all live with God forever and ever and ever. What is the evaluation for? Are you a winner believer or a loser believer? Freedom guarantees inequality. Freedom is fantastic. You're free to succeed. You're free to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You're free to make good decisions, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You also are free to fail, to make bad decisions, to sin, to get into Satan's cosmic system and grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit and live in the cosmic system. So there will be believers at the judgment seat of Christ who are winner believers. There will be believers at the judgment seat of Christ who are loser believers. And there is everything in between. So we will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture. Evaluated by Jesus Christ. And I expect all of you to be there with fantastic confidence. Confidence in God. Because you lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You advanced to spiritual maturity. You glorified God here in time, and you're going to glorify God forever and ever for all eternity. There's no reason why all of you are not there in confidence. So, he says, for the purpose that when he appears, the rapture of the church, we might have confidence. We might have confidence and might not be disgraced, might not be put to shame by him, Jesus Christ, at his coming, that is, in his presence at the judgment seat of Christ. So that's a very important passage. Another one, we are in 1 John, so just go over to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Before God at the judgment seat of Christ. If our heart does condemn us, it means you're making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. Turn over to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 17. In this way, love, this is virtue love, is made complete. That's what John taught in 1 John 2:5. 1 John 2:5 says, but if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, the mandates of God's word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this, we know, we realize, appreciate, understand that we are in him, abiding in him, living the spiritual life. So, we have 1 John 4:17. In this way, virtue love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. Confidence on the day of judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. Because in this world, we are like him. That is, Jesus Christ had virtue love brought to completion in his heart, infinite personal love for God the Father and carrying out the incarnation plan, infinite impersonal love to all mankind, and we are like him, the winner believer that has had virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And he will be at the judgment seat of Christ with great confidence. Loser believers and winner believers will all go to heaven. However, they'll all go to heaven. They'll all live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Now, how they die, which is a part of life, is different. Some will, loser believers will die the sin unto death under maximum divine discipline. Winner believers will die with confidence, intensified happiness, and blessing. And that is dying grace. And I have seen both. I have seen fantastic dying grace of believers with great, great happiness and blessing. They were, they had, well, in one case it was terminal cancer, and absolutely inner happiness, blessing, knowing they were going to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord very quickly, and enjoying the dying part of life. Life made up of two parts, the living part and the dying part. For the believer who grows up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, he will have great happiness and blessing in the living part of his life. He will have great happiness and blessing in the dying part of his life. Philippians 1:21, the Apostle Paul states, "For me, living is Christ, and dying is profit." All right, so Romans 5:2. We haven't quite exegeted all of Romans 5:2 yet. So far, this is what we have. "By the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into the presence of the living and true God, by means of faith in Christ, into this grace, in which grace we stand in the past, with the result that we keep on standing forever." And now the last part of that verse. "And rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have the conjunction chi, plus the present middle indicative of kaukaomai, plus the prepositional phrase epi, plus the dative singular of elpis, plus the genitive singular of doxa with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos with a definite article. The conjunction chi, and I know you're sitting there because you're so smart, and you look at there and say, that means and. Well, yeah, every once in a while it means and, but it can mean a lot of different things. This is the trend. Transitional use of chi, and it should be translated and so, and then we have kaukaomai, kaukaomai, kaukaomai. All right, a couple of things on this verse, a verb. One, kaukaomai means to boast. It means to glory. It means to pride oneself about a person or a thing. To boast, to glory, to pride oneself about a person or a thing. Two, when kaukaomai is directed towards self, it is a sign of arrogance. It's a sign of arrogance. It's a sign of you living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance. So when directed towards self, it's a sign of arrogance. Three, boasting or glorifying directed toward God is the result of living the spiritual life, advancing to spiritual maturity. Boasting or glorifying or glorying directed toward God is the result of living the spiritual life, advancing to spiritual maturity. Four, because we have this eternal security, Because we have this eternal security, we are called upon to have certain attitudes in the spiritual life. Because we have this eternal security, we are called upon to have certain attitudes in the spiritual life. Five. In our verse, we are called upon to have confidence in the glory of God. In our verse, we are called upon to have confidence in the glory of God. So because we have this eternal security, we are called upon to have certain attitudes in the spiritual life. And in this verse, we are called upon to have confidence in the glory of God. The present tense has linear action start. You have a graph linear action start like that. We are called upon to keep on having confidence in the glory of God. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. Every church age believer is called upon to perform the action of having confidence in the glory of God. The indicative mood is declarative, a dogmatic principle of the Scriptures. And then we have epi, the preposition epi, plus the dative of elpis. And elpis, very important word in the Scriptures. E-L-P-I-S. A lot of times you have it translated hope. The best translation of elpis is confidence. Confidence. So this is in confidence. And then we have in confidence of what? Tais doxais tou theou. Looks like this. Tais doxais, that's doxa is the noun, it's in the genitive case, that's the definite article with it. Tais doxais tou theou. So that's what it looks like in the Greek. Tais doxais tou theou. This is the glory of God. So we have in the glory of the glory of God. So here's the corrected translation. And so we keep on boasting in confidence in the glory of God. And what is the word glory in the Scriptures is used in many, many, many different ways. And we're going to take a look at some of the ways that it's used, but here it is used of the essence of God, who and what God is. This is one of the great ways that doxa is used. This is the glory of God. The glory of God is the essence of God, who and what God is, His attributes, His essence. So, verse 2 now says in completion, by the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into the presence of the living and true God by means of faith, faith in Christ. Into this grace, in which grace we stand in the past, with the result that we keep on standing forever. And so, we keep on boasting in confidence in the glory of God. And so we keep on boasting in confidence in the glory of God, and that is the essence of God. All right? One. Boasting in the glory of God is a great virtue. It's a great virtue of the spiritual life. It's the result of you growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, advancing to spiritual maturity, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. When you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you will have personal love for God the Father. Why? Because you know Him. You know Him. You know who and what He is. You know His essence. You know His attributes. You know that He is sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. You know, and those are not just words, you know all doctrines related to every attribute of the essence of God. You know His essence. You know who and what He is. So boasting in the glory of God is a great virtue. It means that you have had virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father because you know who and what God the Father is. You have impersonal love for all, and you have occupation with Jesus Christ. Same way, you know who and what Jesus Christ is. So boasting in the glory of God is a great virtue of the spiritual life. Two, you boast in the glory of God because you know the essence of God. You know His essence. You know His attributes. You know who and what God is. And because you know that, you're not blind. Some of you come up to me and, you know, you see what's going on in America and it breaks your heart. You see what's happening in our nation? It breaks your heart. It breaks my heart. And yet you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, because I expect you to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, I expect you to have personal love for God and know who and what He is. And because you know who and what He is, because you have occupation with Jesus Christ, well, you can have Christmas every day in America, and I know what's going on. Yeah, it breaks my heart too. But you ought to have Christmas every day. Every day. You ought to have Christmas every day. You ought to have Thanksgiving every day. And I know things are bad in this country, but look at the Scriptures. Look at the nation Israel. There were times when the nation Israel, they turned away from God and away from the Word of God, just like we are doing in America. We're turning away from God and away from the Word of God. We're doing the same thing that Israel did, the Northern Kingdom did, the Southern Kingdom did. And they came under divine discipline. They came under divine discipline. And yet, the winner believers there, how about Jeremiah? Jeremiah lived in a time when he was, the fifth cycle of discipline came to the southern kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans came and destroyed the southern kingdom, destroyed most of the people. The survivors they took back to Babylon. And what does the Scripture say? What did Jeremiah say? Lamentations. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah, it broke his heart watching God destroy the southern kingdom. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They hated Jeremiah. Jeremiah was God's servant communicating the grace and truth of the Word of God. They hated him. They made fun of Jeremiah. They wanted to kill Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a winner believer, and Jeremiah had Christmas and Thanksgiving every day. That great hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." That's Lamentations. That's after he witnessed the southern kingdom destroyed. And he knew that God was going to have to administer divine discipline, national discipline. And yet he says, "Great is thy faithfulness." He has personal love for God, occupation with Jesus Christ. And he had Christmas and Thanksgiving every day. Yeah, things are bad in America. Breaks my heart too. But I think, great is thy faithfulness, Father. And if you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, your personal love for God the Father, your occupation with Jesus Christ, even though things are going so bad in this country, you will have Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day. And if you don't, that's a wake-up call for you. Wake up! If you don't have Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day, wake up! That's what you ought to have. And I don't care what's going on. And I don't want to hear all of the organ recitals from all you. Yeah, we're getting to be an older congregation. You all have things going on. And it's very important. And by the way, I'm not saying that don't keep Debbie informed as to what the prayer requests are. And I pray for all of you with all of the different things you have going on. I love to pray. I pray for all of you. But I just don't want to spend all my time talking about organ recitals. I have a lot of things going on with me too, but I don't want to bore you with them. So I won't. But you ought to have Christmas and Thanksgiving every day. I know things are bad and I love this country. I see that flag and what it stands for? Freedom. Freedom. I love that flag. I love this country. We're still here, so there's hope. And I pray for our nation. Pray that God will do whatever it takes to wake America up. I pray that in these times that people in America and all over the world will see Jesus Christ and the grace gospel now, right now in these times more than ever before, that the world would see Jesus Christ and the grace gospel, that in these times many sons might be brought into glory. Now there's another use of glory, brought into glory. That's different than the one we have here. So three, the more you glory in the essence of God, the more you love God. The more you glory in the essence of God, the more you love God. Four, boasting in the glory of God is gratitude. Gratitude and appreciation for who and what God is. Every one of my prayers, Father, you are everything and I am absolutely nothing. You're everything and I am nothing. I don't deserve one blessing from you, not even one. And all the blessings I have are because of who and what you are by your grace and your power. I don't deserve one. And yet all that I am and all that I have is by your amazing grace and power. As you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you develop gratitude and appreciation for who and what God is. Five, boasting in the glory of God is thanksgiving directed toward God. Boasting in the glory of God is thanksgiving directed toward God. One of the great spiritual sacrifices that the believer offers to God the Father is thanksgiving. Turn over to Hebrews 13, verse 15, and we'll stop at this point and take a break for 15 minutes or so and then come back for part two. Hebrews 13, 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice. We offer spiritual sacrifices. Therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name, to who and what He is. Continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. His name, His essence, for who and what He is. The winner believer growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. Yes, he loves personal love for God the Father, and he is constantly offering up a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God for who and what he is. That's what we have here. This is a very important phrase. And so we keep on boasting in confidence in the glory of God, in the essence of God. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back in a few with part 2.